Hey, we're here this morning to continue our study in spiritual love, loving as Christ loved. And let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the world is in such turmoil. And yet, Heavenly Father, we're very calm about this because our Savior, while He was on earth, told us this would be the condition before He called the church home. So, Father, we're not alarmed, shaken, at peace in our own souls, in a world that is in turmoil, waiting for the rapture of the church, the coming of the Antichrist, and the tribulation. But Heavenly Father, those things are future. We are under obligation to live today. If we're here, we're alive, here on earth, we have our responsibilities. We cannot live in the future. We cannot live in the rapture. We cannot live in the second coming. We must live today. Do our part in this battle. So, Father, we pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things that we will understand, and that is our part. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, our nation. Lila, good to see you this morning, darling. Was the traffic bad? It was? Wow. Glad you're here safely, darling. Our nation. Indeed, the whole world is in turmoil today. And I wish it was simple as a war. A war would be very simple. In a war, you know who the enemy is. The lines are drawn. You come to the battlefield and you fight. That's the history of wars. And well-defined, easy to work with, and just see who has the better equipment and the better leaders. But that's not the issue today. Our society that we live in is following suit of all the great nations in history, and that's suicide, killing itself from within. Greece did it. Rome did it. We're doing it. Just killing ourselves from within. Not a war, not outside intervention, but destroying ourselves from the in. The society you live in, and I live in, is full of evil. And what do I mean by evil? Evil, in this definition, this framework, is those things antithetical and against God's design. What God has designed when He established nations. It is a shame, because I like Harrison Ford, but boy, did he go on a rampage, anti-America, anti-nationalism, total globalization. And it's a shame to me, the breakdown in the educational system, which was done by design, doesn't teach the Constitution. Doesn't teach freedom, doesn't teach the difference between socialism, communism, capitalism, freedom, these kinds of things. Kids don't know that. They don't learn these things in our current educational system. So what we're seeing politically and with movie star leaders, celebrities, is a product of our educational system. Don't teach them these things. Teach them globalization. And how that is what is desired by all people. Ours is a society filled with hate, and you hear it in the rhetoric, bitterness, jealousy. Actually, what you hear is a lot of guilt from people, too. I think a lot of rich people feel guilty that they're rich, that they've been led to be guilty, been told you should be guilty. you have a lot of money, so be guilty. It would take a lot of money to make me feel guilty. But, that's what's happened in our society. There's a frustration of a lot of people in this country today. Dreams are unfulfilled. The ideal of the American dream, that is taught in school, and it's taught that it's no good, and you're not going to have it, and all that. It's amazing what people think. People are told the lies about America, and everyone would be rich, everyone would be beautiful and wonderful, and have everything that they wanted. Politicians would promise everything. And what do they get? Broken homes, broken marriages, degeneracy, homosexuality, the infiltration of the religions and nationalism of the nations to destroy this nation. It's very important. I forget who it was just recently, gave a really good dissertation on how all this diversification is destroying America, including language. But Teddy Roosevelt said this a long time ago. One language is the stability of a nation. You don't have a lot of languages. Divides people. Just divides them all up. And when I listen to this current speaker, if you know who I'm talking about, holler it out. But all the diversification. And it caused me to think of the passages we studied in Ephesians dealing with unity of the assembly. I haven't really emphasized unity of the assembly. But when you think about it, what is going on, you can't have an assembly where people believe this and people believe that and got this and got that. You have 5-6 different views and different and tolerate all of that. No unity. No unity. Division. And that stuff is not conducive to strength, conducive to fulfilling your destiny as a local assembly. So it just is a matter of what's going on in our world. Anti-Semitism, AIDS, divorce, inequality, racism, sexism, violence, hate, on and on and on. And that's a society that we have created, we've allowed to come about in our suicide of this nation. Now, what's the problem? The problem is not race. The problem is not judicial system. The problem is not poverty. The problem is not inequality. It's a spiritual problem. This country is involved in a massive spiritual problem. The attitude of our nation toward God, toward Jesus Christ. And therefore, the absence of an attitude in this country toward the freedom that our forefathers established and put together. A constitution, a constitutional law. There are so many areas in America that are allowing Sharia law to rule, that are letting all these things just come in and break it all up. We don't understand how our foundation was founded on principles of this book. 33% of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence came from the Bible. It is the most one single use document for our Constitution and Declaration of Independence. We're not taught that anymore. When I studied this, I thought, you know what I need to do? Just give a couple hours on our Constitution. But that's not my job. This is a church. It's not about America. America's not in the Bible. America's not promised anything. But it is about the freedom we enjoy. If we lose this freedom, can you imagine losing the freedom to just talking about Jesus Christ? Losing the freedom to ask someone if they're a believer in Jesus Christ? Telling them of the glory and the wonders of eternal life in Christ? And that's what happened in a lot of the world today. You can't do that in the world today. In a lot of countries, China, Russia, can't do that. Pakistan, You can't just walk up to someone and do that anymore. It's coming that way in this country. What a shame that we have allowed this kind of activity to occur in our country. Now, we've got to ask ourselves, what about us? What about you? Right here in this church, on the internet, listen to these things. What about you? What are you going to do about all that's going on in America today? I'm not interested in simply stabilizing you. That's the long-suffering of love. Long-suffering of love. The first thing God did with spiritual love, being long-suffering. Long-suffering stabilizes you. But I'm not here just to stabilize you, and neither is God, so that you can pick up your Bible, take some food, and go hide under a basket somewhere. That's not what this is about. That's not what spiritual love is about. For you to be stabilized, it does do that. That's the first impact of spiritual love. It stabilizes you. But it's not stabilizing you so that you and I can go run off and live into some kind of a little isolated area. Isolationist. In that sense. So, where it's not, the problem is spiritual, and we've got to understand that. It's not racial, not poverty, not judicial. These things are but indications, ramifications of the real problem in America. The couple gets a divorce. Well, this happened. No, what happened was way back when they started having the problems in their marriage. They didn't face it right then and nip it right then. Just let it go. Let it go. And then finally, he turned into a dog and she turned into a horrible person. No. That developed because you did not take care of it. And this is what is happening in our country. Now, this happened because Americans don't care about America. And again, I want to emphasize, it's not about America. It's about the freedom we enjoy in America. That's the great issue. America is not in the Bible. We don't have promises from God. But we do have the understanding of freedom. And America has used that freedom to spread the gospel throughout the whole world, and still does. Spreading the gospel, putting the gospel and the word of God into languages. You know the story. We've gone into areas that didn't even have a written alphabet. We taught them their own alphabet. We taught them their own language, and then we printed it and gave them a Bible. That's just astounding. That's what America was founded for. That's what that freedom was founded for. And we used it wisely. We're losing it. And what is going to happen as we lose it? We're going to lose that freedom to share the gospel, to tell others about the saving work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, so the problem is spiritual. It's a spiritual crisis going on. Now, what are we going to do about a spiritual crisis? Well, unfortunately, to me, it starts the pulpit. And the pulpits in America are pitiful. On the whole, there are certainly isolated differences and exceptions. And I can talk about some of them. But as a whole, preachers don't understand this book, don't understand history, don't understand freedom, don't understand salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone, and therefore don't understand how to solve the problem, but add to the problem. Make the people feel good, feel peaceful in the midst when everything is falling apart. The point is that we have the answer. Everyone in this room, we have the answer. The answer is in this book. The answer is Jesus Christ. We don't hold this answer to ourselves. We are to love others. Now, the new commandment is one another, and I'm never going to stray from that. That's what the Bible says. Another of the same kind, another believer. But you know, believers even fight believers today. Christians fight Christians today. We can't even get along with one another. Therefore, the new commandment, that's where it's going to start. See? It's going to start with believers showing spiritual love for one another. And the world should look at that and would look at that if it were there. What's your secret? What makes you do that? What causes you to be like that? But they're not asking us that because we're not different than the world. We're just like the world. We fight, we divide, we kill each other with our tongues, we lash out, and therefore the world sees no difference in Christianity than it did before, than it did without it. Now, what God has done in His marvelous grace, infinite mercy, He has given to us several things, aspects, to help us. First and foremost, now I'm talking about after salvation. Salvation is the beginning point. But after salvation, He gave to everyone in the church. You've got to understand the church age is so unique. You're different than all those people in Babylon that believed in Jesus, the coming Messiah. How astounding is that? How astounding to be in the kingdom of Babylon and to hear about the Jewish Messiah and to believe it as Nebuchadnezzar did and believe that. And people, that was it for them. That was really it. You and I have much more because the moment you believed in Christ, God played a dirty trick on us. He filled us and gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. See? A believer in Babylon in the Old Testament believed in Jesus to come, or believed in the coming Messiah. That was it. Saved forever. Go on about your business. The ministry of witnessing, that wasn't to them. That was to Israel. Israel was the minister of witnessing. Now today, what God did, every time somebody believes in Christ, He puts His Spirit inside of us. And people, that changes everything. That's why you are different than a believer in Babylon. I'm using that as an example. It could be Assyria, it could be anywhere. But that's what makes you and I different. The moment you and I believed, we were indwelled by God, the Holy Spirit. And therefore, because of that, you are in full-time Christian service. You don't get to just have the stability of long-suffering and then go hide somewhere. I'm stable. I feel good. I feel good about myself. I'm comfortable. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, but I know where I'm going, and I'm very good now. And I'm going to go hide. You don't get to do that. That's not what the whole indwelling of the Spirit is about. Secondly, and so important, He gave to us the completed canon of Scripture. We're studying the book of Acts on Wednesday night. One of the most interesting things to me in the 15 chapters we've studied, they didn't have any other New Testament epistles. Ephesians wasn't written. Galatians wasn't written. James wasn't written. None of the New Testament epistles were written as we read through these chapters. Yet, they were given the gospel. Very clearly, given the gospel from Old Testament Scripture. Then what God did, He slowly, very methodically, got the Holy Spirit, started putting together the New Testament. The books that we have in our Bible. And the compilation of this book, it's a wonderful study. Been so many years since we studied it here, but how we got the Bible is just a tremendously interesting study and very vital to the ministry of God. But the point is, He gave to us His Bible, the Word, were to learn it. Why did he give it? He gave it to look for us to learn. Not just to have sitting on a coffee table, but to read it, study it, learn it, memorize it. This is why he gave to us this book. And then believe it. And then, aha, here comes the hard part. Live it. Learn it, believe it, live it. This is what we're to do with the Word of God. See? And this is why it is so important to any pastor, whoever you choose to sit under, to teach you the truth of this book. People, that is a major decision. It amazes me, and I'm really interested to watch some Christians. They have children. They want the best school system. They have an illness, and they want the best doctor. I got a major problem. I want the best cardiologist I can find. I want the best this doctor I can find, that doctor I can find. I have a major problem. But let's just go to this church. It's nice. The children like it. It has some good programs. And the music's good for an hour. And this type of thing. See? How horrible is that? That should be the number one priority. Where we take our children to worship the Word of God. To learn the Word of God. Okay, so first of all, we have the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we have the Bible. And then third, people, faith. That's all God requires from us. Simple faith. Believe the Word of God. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Father. That's what He gave to us. Faith as our system. We learn the Word of God by faith. We execute the Word of God by faith. We live by faith. That's how we live. We live by faith. So, these are some of the things that He gave us. Now, out of those things, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and faith, God put in the process spiritual love. That is the dynamic of any Christian life. Spiritual love, loving as Christ loved. Now, we left off last Sunday morning that the first impact of spiritual love is long-suffering. Now, I hope you understand one of the primary things about long-suffering. We studied a lot of things about it, but the most important thing about long-suffering, it stabilizes you. That's the first thing it does. It stabilizes you. It makes you strong. It makes you hold on and keep holding on to the Word of God, to living by faith. See? It gives you peace in your soul. That's what it does. Now, so this is why God the Father made spiritual love the more excellent way. And this is why the first ingredient, the first impact of the more excellent way is long suffering. But there's a problem. If you're long suffering, when you're long suffering, if you're long suffering, there's a vacuum that will be created between you and the other believer, the one that's caused the confrontation, caused the stir to occur. Whatever they did, whatever you think they did, there is now a vacuum that is brought about by long suffering. See? You do not strike out. You do not punch them in the nose. That is not love. I have love for you, I don't hit you. That's not love, that's law. That's loving by law. You hit me and I'll sue you. Have you thrown in jail, this kind of thing. That's not love. That is not love. But there's a vacuum that's created now. Because you don't strike out. You don't seek revenge. I'll get even with you. It is amazing how some Christians carry revenge for years. And then they find that opportunity, and boy, they just stick the knife in and twist it. And they sit there and smile while doing it. See? You don't do that either. You do not have sins of the tongue. You do not murder them with your tongue. Now, here's the kicker. And you don't walk away. you don't walk away. You don't just get to walk away from your husband, from your wife, from other church members, friends, family, work, life. That's not God's plan. God's plan did not make us strong so we can walk away. Just, I'm not here. I'll walk away. I don't hate you. Whatever you do, that's fine. I'm out of here, though. That's not spiritual love. So, there's a vacuum. If we stop here with the description of spiritual love, see, we're only half through with the understanding of long-suffering, what it's about. That's not what long-suffering is about. That's not what love is about. Any love, especially spiritual love, see, what is the purpose of spiritual love? What's the purpose? What's the design of spiritual love? Being long-suffering. See? What about the interaction between believers? That's what we're dealing with here. The interaction. If you want to be an island to yourself, have at it. Go try it. Go try it. See? People have tried it throughout history. I love studying what happened in history, today in history, and inevitably every now and then there'd be, and some hermit somebody here, and how he got out of that, and he led some kind of movement. See? If you want to be a hermit, go ahead. But don't say you're living the Christian life. They used to have monks that would go up and live in a little commune together, be separated from the world. No problem. They had problems with each other. With each other. Even then they didn't escape it. But that's what they tried to do. Let's just go over here and form this little commune and separate ourselves from the world. You don't get to do that, people. That's what the Quakers do. Separate from the world. That's not what we're called to do. That's not being a witness of Christ. We're in the world. See? And we are to witness for Christ in the world. So, if this has occurred, if there's this now vacuum, because I'm not going to react, I'm not going to lash out, I'm not going to carry sin in my soul. It's me. A lot of times believers carry stuff in their own soul. Has no effect on the other person whatsoever. The other person goes right off, joy of life. That person doesn't even know they're hated. That person doesn't even know they're resented. That person doesn't even know knives have been thrown at them in the back. They don't know that. It just affects you. That's all it affects. So long suffering comes along, that's gone. No animosity in your soul. No mental attitude sins. What are we going to do, though, between you and that other believer? See, what is it that's going to take that vacuum? And what's going to take that vacuum is what we're studying now. Love is kind. Kind. No one characteristic of spiritual love is that it is long-suffering. And that protects you. Stabilizes you. But what we're about to study, kindness, what it does, it affects the other person. It allows them to maintain their spiritual life. See? God is so brilliant what He's done. He's first of all given something that protects me, protects you. You get to hold on to your spiritual life. And now what you're going to do with this other person, you allow them to hold on to their spiritual life. And we're going to see this all the way through. All the way through. Love does not brag. See? Boast. Love is not jealous. Not being jealous stabilizes me. Not bragging stabilizes you. You don't have to put up with listening to my nonsense and be jealous of that. Nearly every one of these are two-sided. We'll see that. One side, one side. So, long-suffering, vacuum. What's going to fill the vacuum? Kindness. What does long-suffering do? Stabilize you. What does kindness do? Stabilizes them. And now you can have the fellowship in Christ. And that's the whole objective. Fellowship and worship Christ. That's what these things are for. See? So, this is what we're looking at in dealing with the kindness of spiritual love. Now, it's going to be hard to go through all of the things that I'd like to say about it. We've got so many different aspects of it. But let's take up three introductory principles. Three introductory principles to our study. One, long-suffering of love allows us to hold on to what we have in Christ. To continue to be who and what we are in Christ. So we don't become angry, bitter, jealous, revenge, all these mental attitudes, and overt sins, and sins of the tongue. So it allows you to maintain all that you have that you are in Christ. Secondly, kindness allows us to interact with others so they can hold on to what they have in Christ. This is very important. It's not just about us, people. Yes, you've got to stabilize yourself. It's like being on a plane. What do they tell you? This thing's going to drop down if we need it. And what does it say? If you're with a child, put your own mask on first. And then the child. Oh no, I'm going to take care of my child first. Well, the child slips down underneath the seat. You go down under it. You lose air. You start becoming faint. And now both of you die. How horrible is that? No, you stabilize yourself. So that even if that child slides under the seat, you go down under, and you've got your air breathing, pull them back up by the hair of their head, and send them back down, and put their mask on. See? You've got to stabilize yourself. And then you're able to help other people. So point two, kindness allows us to interact with others so that they can hold on to what they have in Christ. Remember, Christ's love was what? Sacrificial to self, beneficial to the other people. Sacrificial to self, beneficial to the other person. If you don't want that kind of love, then don't say your love is Christ. Most human love is beneficial to me, you sacrifice. You sacrifice for my benefit. You sacrifice your money, you sacrifice your time, you sacrifice your person, you sacrifice for me. That's the way human love works. Spiritual love, you sacrifice for the benefit of the other person. What's wrong with a lot of marriages in America today? It's all about me. See, I love you, therefore you ought to do everything I want. I love you, therefore you don't please me, you should please me. No, love says, I please you. Love says, I sacrifice for your benefit. Spiritual love says that. So, this is what spiritual love is about. It is about loving as Christ loved, sacrificial to self, what it cost him, causing the cross. Benefit of others. You have eternal life because of Christ's love. Because he sacrificed himself on the cross. And therefore, you have eternal life. And then, three. Without long suffering, there is no place for kindness. Without long suffering, there is no place for kindness. Think about it. If you don't have long suffering, you're going to react. You're going to hit them. You're going to get even. You're going to slander, kill with murder with your tongue. You're going to do something to get it, or you're going to walk away, whatever it is. See? There's no kindness because you don't think they deserve kindness. You deserve kindness, not them. See? I'm a great believer. I deserve the kindness. No. If you're such a great believer, you ought to be overwhelming in giving kindness. So this is the great issue. Point three, without long suffering, there is no place for kindness. But, since love is long-suffering, there is now the need and place for the force of love to create an environment between two believers that's conducive to glorifying Christ. And that's what we're here for, to glorify Christ. See? There are two primary problems with kindness. Most believers do not like kindness. Do not think highly of kindness. Kindness is weakness. Kindness, if I'm kind, I'm weak. I'm strong. See, this is why this is not a virtue to the Greeks and to most people's thinking. You don't have long suffering. A strong person shouldn't have to put up with anything. That's what makes you a strong person. That's what makes you the leader. That's what makes you the big one. You don't have to put up. I don't have to put up with this. See? And so, therefore, you don't put up with it. Because you don't have to. Spiritual love is not desired by the world. Because spiritual love says you will be long-suffering. You'll take it. See? From your husband, from your wife, from your family, from your church, work, wherever. And you just keep taking it. Long-suffering. That's not a virtue in the world. This is not something that would be flattering. And it's not flattering to us. It's tough to take that. I don't really feel like I deserve to be treated this way. I don't really deserve this. See? I gotta get rid of that thinking. Who am I? Who am I? Look what Christ took for me and went to the cross. We talk about the cross. Look at all the things that happened to him before the cross. I mean, just the intimidation of things. His own best friend, one of his best friends, betrays him with a kiss. I'd have walloped and popped him right in the mouth. Say, don't you even try to kiss me, you bum. I know what you're doing. See? And then on and on and on, all the things that happened to him. Being beaten without even being charged yet, which is totally against Roman law, and happened right in a Roman court. But he took it. He took it without murmuring, like a sheep, a lamb before slaughter. That's what the Bible says our Savior did. So this is the whole idea in dealing with the long suffering of love. Kindness is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Kindness is one of the descriptive powers of spiritual love. Kindness has great part in our salvation. See? But there are three primary problems with kindness. One, people have contempt for kindness. People think lightly of kindness, if they think about it at all. They think kindness is something you give to a little kitty, little pussycat. Be kind and nice, but not to people. See? That would show I'm weak. If I'm kind, I'm weak. And I'm not going to do that. It's a shame. I believe there have been many women who've passed up on the right man because he just was kind. And they construe that as weak. I want some real man as my husband. I want somebody real man, real macho. I want somebody kind, considerate. I don't want that. And then once they marry, gosh, why aren't you kind to me? Why aren't you considerate of me? Why aren't you nice to me? Well, you passed it up. See? That's what happens in life. So, we got to understand there is a contempt of kindness. They think it is weakness. And they think themselves as superior. And if you're superior, you don't have to be kind. So, first problem with kindness is that people have contempt for kindness. We'll look at a passage later. Well, you better start changing your thinking about kindness as we move into this study. Secondly, the problem with kindness is ignorance. Most people, especially Christians, are ignorant about the kindness of God, about kindness in spiritual love, about kindness in our salvation. See? So, that's what happens to a lot of us. Remember that in this study, spiritual love is the subject, not you. You're not the subject. You're not kind. Spiritual love is kind, and it flows through you. You're not long-suffering. Spiritual love is long-suffering. It flows through you when you walk by faith. When you're not in faith, no long-suffering in you and no kindness coming from you. Unless it comes from your flesh, which is unacceptable to God. See? So, to others, think not even, they don't even think about kindness and spiritual love. They don't think about kindness and think about love. You do not have love that Christ love if your love is not kind. It's that simple. See? Now, God put kindness at a high priority, and I'm going to show you that in Scripture. High priority. This is why He made it a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, let's take a look now at the priority of kindness. Priority of kindness. One, kindness is vital part of our salvation. How about that for priority? If you value your salvation, eternal life, this is where it begins, with kindness. Most are aware of the fact you're saved by grace through faith. But there are several passages that make it just as clear that we're saved by the kindness of God. Let's start with Romans chapter 2. Let's turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. I'm really enjoying the study of Acts. I didn't think I would. But I am really enjoying it. And when we finish the book of Acts, we're going to do another book the same way. We're just going to chapter by chapter in it. And take out some different books that way. And maybe I can get some things done before I die that I didn't think I'd get done. And but we'll see how long the Lord lets me stay. Alright, let's look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Romans 2, 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and long-suffering, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? So if we look at this one verse, we have kindness twice. We're talking about our salvation. We have it twice. Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness? The Greek word for riches refers to wealth, referring to both amount and value. Refers to all rich blessings God has for starting our salvation. Kindness. The same word in our study in 1 Corinthians 13. Christotos. And I'll be breaking this all down, but as we go through our study. And for example, let's look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world in this manner, that He gave. That's divine love. Divine kindness. Now, do you think, I go back to Romans 2:4, do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness? Kata phroneo. This is a basic attitude toward kindness. The word means to look down upon. Be lightly, look down upon. That's what that word means. To despise. What the word means, right? A lexicon. To despise. To have contempt. So let's take at some of these. Do you have contempt of the riches of His kindness? Do you despise the richness of His kindness? Do you look down upon the richness of His kindness? This is one of the great problems of kindness, people. As a fruit of the Holy Spirit, kindness in life, we have contempt for it. It's not really taught too much by parents. Be kind. Be kind to your brother and sister. Be kind. I want to hit them. See? Be kind. We have contempt for it. Now, or do you have contempt for riches of his kindness and the forbearance or clemency and long suffering, not knowing that the richness or the kindness of God leads to your repentance? Now, yes. Oh, good. There you have it. Okay. I don't know who the two guys are on the left there, but let's concentrate on the Word of God and deal with it. Okay. Thank you, Tip. Now, this passage presents one of the great problems in the church. Ignorance. Do you not know? See? Not knowing. Ignorance. Not knowing. People, what you do not know about kindness will hurt you. What you do not know about kindness will hurt you. What you do not know about a lot of things will hurt you. What you don't know about AIDS will hurt you. What you don't know about Islam will hurt you. What you don't know about our own constitution will hurt you. You won't defend it. You won't defend the freedom. So, ignorance is a great problem. In fact, the next hour, we're going to be taking a look at teaching wisdom. Teaching it. Well, I guess that's not the next hour. It'll be the next lesson. Next hour is wisdom, right? I think it's wisdom, yeah. And then the next week, teaching. God cares very much about teaching and that we learn these things. Ignorance of kindness means that you are without one of the grand and marvelous graces of all the virtues of God, His kindness. Repentance leads to repentance. Okay. Repentance here refers to a change of mind about Jesus Christ for salvation. Don't make repentance what it is not. A lot of people think, well, if you've repented, that should make a difference. People, there's no power in repentance. Power is in faith in the Holy Spirit. Faith in Jesus Christ for the unbeliever, faith in the Holy Spirit for the believer. All repentance means is change of mind. It doesn't mean they're going to become Christian. I've changed my mind about my sinful life. Now I'm going to go to religion. Now I'm going to go to a works program. Now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do that. All that repentance says is you change your mind about Jesus Christ. And then you're drawn into this by kindness. Do you not have contempt for the riches of His kindness and clemency and long-suffering, not knowing, there's your ignorance, that kindness of God, leads you to repentance? Now, I didn't spend much time on the word riches. I love the word riches. The riches of His kindness. I know I've overdone this, and I know you're going to get tired of hearing it, but it's my favorite example of what the richness refers to. When I was a little boy, Mom would make a chocolate cake, and then there would be the three layers of the dough. Big deal, I didn't care about that. It's what's in this pot. And then this pot is all this good chocolate with pecans in it, chopped up. And then she'd pour it on top of this cake. We just stand there, watching it pour on there. And we just go, and then she'd take her knife and just smooth it out. And it was so much of it, it was so rich, it fell off over the plate. That's what we could lick. We couldn't touch the cake. Couldn't touch the cake, but you were allowed to do this. See? All around. That's the riches. The riches to me, the overflowing. That's how rich it is. It's overflowing. It's not stingy. She didn't just say, took a bit. No. She poured it on there and it was so rich. It overflowed. And that richness is the richness of the kindness of God. That's what He's talking about in our study. So, now, let's look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Where's Titus? Well, it's the last thing by Paul. And if you look, you'll find Titus. But you got to travel through like I'm trying to do here. Alright. Now, actually it's the next to the last, Philemon's the last one. Alright, Titus, chapter 3. Chapter 3. Now what we want to do, we're going to concentrate on verse 4, but let's read verses 1 through 3. Titus, chapter 3. Remind them, oh I love that, remind them. Repetition. Oh, you've heard that doctrine before. Well, maybe you need to hear it again. See? Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one. Oh, I'm afraid I'm a little guilty of that. Obama and a few others. I haven't spoken very favorably. I should have just kept my mouth shut. Okay? Malign no one. To be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all. That's unbelievers included. For we also once were foolish ourselves. Oh, that's why I have to be nice to these people. Because you're going to pull that old trick where that's where I was. Alright, I'll have to buy that. Disobedient. Deceived. Enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. Spending our life in malice and envy. Hatred. Hating one another. See what spiritual love does? The long-suffering of spiritual love cuts out malice, envy, hate, of one another. That's it. That's the solution to this. Spiritual love is a solution to verse 3. Now let's look at verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared. Okay. That's our passage. His love for mankind appeared. This is the benevolence of His love. Jesus Christ. See? The love here is agape. And it's not agape. It's philanthropia. And that is the love, the benevolent love for all mankind. It's not spiritual love. Spiritual love is agape. This is another love, but it comes from the Holy Spirit. Kindness is a major part of our salvation, is what I want you to see in verse 4. So let's read it again. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, He is both God and Savior, and His love, that's the love that put Him on the cross, for mankind appeared. Where did it appear? On the cross. And resurrection. That's where it appeared. So it's a major part of our salvation. See? Alright? So, we have long-suffering of spiritual love allows us to hold on to what you have in Christ. Kindness allows you to interact with others so that they can hold on to who and what they are in Christ. Without spiritual love, there is no place for kindness. Now, God places a high priority on spiritual love. First of all, it is part of our salvation. Now, major point two. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Part of the package that God the Holy Spirit pours into us once we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. And we're running out of time. I don't want you to start it. I'll be repeating it again next week. So we'll start with Galatians 5 next Sunday morning, and we will note the priority of spiritual of kindness, of spiritual love, as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, when we realize the vastness of the riches of Your kindness, not only providing salvation, as most wonderful as that is, but in making it part of our daily life through Your Holy Spirit, beginning to understand that kindness is a priority to You. Kindness is important to You. And therefore, Heavenly Father, pray that kindness will become important to us in our dealing with one another. are dealing with other believers, are dealing with mankind, that we will show kindness that we might witness of our Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen.